Ammon Hennessy, besides wanting me to become a pacifist, wanted me to learn how to become an anarchist. It was a word, like most people, I was afraid of, because it always meant violence and chaos. It never occurred to me that the capitalist system is violence and chaos decade after decade. It certainly is today. I didn't know what he meant, though. Ammon, besides having to deal with my capacity for violence when I first hit the Joe Hill House there in Salt Lake City, you had to deal with a lot of violence in that house, a lot of Second World War vets that had come back, broken people, a lot of them alcoholics. And it was always stuff getting broken up and people getting broken up. And Ammon dealt with it in very, very creative and very compassionate ways. Ammon said, since I didn't know if I could still live in the country anymore, he said, you know you love the country. You love the country. You go in and out of town, and you come back with these wonderful songs about people and places. You know you love the country. He quoted Mark Twain, a loyalty to the country always, loyalty to the government when it deserves it. Yeah, I do love the country very, very much. He said, what you don't love the state. You know, you love the country, but you can't stand the state. Now, get it straight. You know, it was an essential distinction that I had been neglecting. Well, then, having established that firmly in my mind, he said, well, he got me onto the notion that anarchy isn't a noun but an adjective that defines the tension between moral autonomy and political authority, especially in the area of combinations, whether they're going to be voluntary or coercive. Most of us are born into highly coercive combinations, marital combinations, boss, employee, student, teacher, parent, child. These are combinations which we inherit. They're culturally compelled. We are not the architects of these combinations. We don't have any choice in them. He said, all we ever wanted to do is to be centered enough in ourselves that we could come together and create voluntary combinations, non-coercive combinations of which we are the architects, which define our needs as we see them and not as they're defined for us. Well, yeah, he said, if you and I can agree that we will both do our share of the work of the world, that's the work around the Joe Hill House. If you and I can agree that we will only take what we need and put back what we can, if you and I can agree that we'll care for the afflicted, and mostly if you and I can agree that we won't hurt anybody, all the things you can't get from the boss and from the state, then we can begin to build between us that voluntary combination and get the work of the world done without the boss and without the state. Well, I've said that to so many young people, especially lately, who get this idea that anarchy is some kind of nihilism. Oh, you can't tell me what to do. No anarchy. You've got to tell yourself what to do, because you've got to learn to become your own best government. And believe me, you can do it better and cheaper than they can. What I tell my young friends is, your job in the world is to find out what your real work is. Your real work. Work's what you do for yourself. Toil's what you do for somebody else. And you're going to, that work is what's going to satisfy your soul. That work is what animates you, which permits you to live in the exercise of your own unique and specific virtue. Now, you're going to take a lot of dumb jobs. You're going to take a lot of jobs that you don't like, or jobs that take you nowhere. They're going to pay maybe a dumb wage. You could have a good boss or a bad boss, but the boss is the boss, and you can't laugh off that curse. But if you do that toil, you're going to take part of the money and part of the time and use it to acquire tools and skills that enable you to do your work. And you've got that. Someday you're going to pick up the phone and call in well, and you're going to start to do your work, put your work in the world. And if it's something you find out you can't do by yourself, you find other people who are like-minded, who want to do the same sort of thing, and you come together and you make that voluntary combination. I always wanted to write that old man a song, not about him. He was vain. I wouldn't give him the satisfaction, but something mulched up out of his thought as an anarchist. The new ruling party is holding the aces.
The rest of the cards are all missing faces. I'm sorry I can't know you today. What can one say? I will not obey. Give us your sons and give us your daughters. No one is safe or immune from the slaughter. How indifference makes them rage. What can one say? I will not obey. National Guard or freedom fighters, all houses belong to cigarette lighters. But who hides in the smoke? What can one say? I will not obey. Better perhaps to perish outside of the bunkers where our generals hide. I turn away and spit. What can one say? I will not obey. Give us the minds of your children to learn the substance of books we have not yet burned. But can they read the sky for rain? What can one say? I will not obey. Soon all tyrants will feel our impatience. We choose to create our own combinations. I was always willing to agree. What can one say? I will not obey. The essence of contract is agreement, not coercion or obedience. And agreement is sacred. What can one say? I will not obey. There are so few wars of people's liberation, for the people have so seldom risen. Only the armed faction. Listen, the armed faction lies. They recreate the state through their action. When the people rise, it is not they, but the state which dies. I sing this song for the prisoners' release, most of all now for the new state police. You see, the guns have changed hands. Again, what can one say? I will not obey.